Are you ready to listen to a podcast?
Here comes the Playhouse Podcast, thanks to Bradshaw and Bryan Law Offices.
Find, subscribe, and listen.
We've got email. We've got email. Got email. Got email. We've got email.
Okay, so this one was from Maria. She is in the car. Maria, welcome to the show. Thank you for sending this email. And let's get to it. It says, went school shopping with my 9-year-old daughter this week. When we got home, she modeled all her new outfits for her dad. He was so sweet, calling her beautiful. She went back to her room and he started talking about how it might be a good idea to help her with a fitness goal. His friend from rec basketball told him that his daughter was bullied last year for having a little bit of fluff. And he never wants our daughter to feel that way. I understand where he's coming from. I agree that we should do everything in our power to make sure that she feels and looks her best. Should we tell her, though, that we're putting her on a diet, or should we just alter the way that we bring food into the house? The latter, Maria. When I read this, the latter. So this is going to be...
I don't know if I completely agree with that.
This is going to be from my perspective, because we did this for our son when he was 7. We were just eating. We had cheeses and breads and pastas, and we love food. We're foodies. But he was getting to the age that tackle football was coming. And we talked about this before, where we took out all real pastas, brought in veggie pastas. He had no idea. We didn't tell him we were doing this diet. We just said, here's a bowl of macaroni and cheese. And he had no idea that it was veggie noodles. He loved them. So why tell him? Why tell him that we think that there was something wrong with the way he looks? And guess what happened? He got down to under the weight that you needed to be to carry the ball. He had a blast in football. He is just a fitness sports fiend right now. And he wouldn't be able to do that if he had excess weight, and that paired with his asthma. So you got to do what you got to do as a parent. I don't think you should tell her. I think you keep it to yourself.
Some people react differently to being told this, and I agree what you say is understand your room, understand your audience. Some people will react to that, though, if they say, hey, probably carrying a little extra. Maybe that's the motivation they need to
a 9-year-old girl.
I don't know. You got to know your daughter.
I'm going to say no on that one.
You got to know your daughter. Listen,
I know
for sure my daughter, when she was an athlete and she was a dancer, if I'd have said, hey, your chance of making that kick team next year are probably, your chances are better if you could cut, or if you could link, you know, stretch out a little bit and probably be a little more lean, she would have.
Well, everybody reacts differently.
Right. And so I'm just trying
and
to think of.
She was older.
Yeah. But even at 9, if I'd have said, hey, your chance of making this dance team, if you're leaner, is going to be better. You don't have to say, hey, you need to lose 10 pounds. You don't have to say, hey, you got to not be fat.
That's what
you
girls put, hear at that
yeah,
age, though.
Really?
Oh, my God, yes.
You don't understand the difference between lean and overweight?
No.
Getting
lean?
You
try to explain that to a 9-year-old that we want you to slim out. All they hear is, I'm fat. 9 years old. You can't possibly even know what I'm talking about because you've never been a young girl.
But I was a fat kid. And if somebody would have said to me, hey, your chance at playing longer or at a higher level, if you dropped a couple of pounds, I probably just would have.
And even like when my timeline memories pop up and he'll be like, oh, my God, that's what I look like when I was 4 years ago. I'm like, yeah, but I never looked at you differently. You're my baby. I love you to the ends of the earth and back. But I knew that you had a goal and I knew you wanted to play tackle football. And so secretly we made these changes and it was for the better. We stuck with those changes.
How would you handle this if you were Maria? What do you say to your daughter? Do you say anything?
Yeah.
Or do you just kind of smuggle the better food kind of in without anybody knowing? What would be the route you take? The email we got this morning from Maria.
Yeah, it says, we went school shopping for my 9-year-old daughter this week. We got home. She modeled the outfits for her dad. He was so sweet. He was calling her beautiful when she left the room. He said that it might be a good idea to get her on a fitness goal. His friend from rec basketball told him that his daughter was bullied last year for having a little bit of fluff. And we never want her to feel that way. I understand where he's coming from and agree that we should do everything in our power to make sure that she looks and feels her best. Should we tell her, though, that we're putting her on a diet, or should we just make the food switch? And my advice was exactly what we did 4 years ago, and that was just make the food switch. Everything that's in your house, your 9-year-old does not have money to buy it. So whatever you're putting in your house and you think your kids are overweight, it's your fault. It's 100% your fault. You're bringing the food in. You're swinging by McDonald's. You're making these choices. And so that's what it boils down to. But I do not think that you should tell her.
Just thoughts on this? Idea. Mrs. X, I know we didn't want to say your name. So what do you think about this?
So absolutely, Kat's right. Do not tell her. Slip everything in. Make the changes. Get more active as a family. Just go for walks. Do things outside. Go swimming. All the fun things. This is a normal developmental stage for all 9 girls and boys. They go sick right before puberty. And puberty is hitting earlier for girls now.
Yeah.
And so it's all very normal, but pointing it out does a lot of damage because the 9-year-old brain can't process it the way maybe that 14-year-old brain can process it. And it depends, of course, on the relationship. But if her dad said, oh, you look so beautiful, you look so nice, everything looks good, and then a couple days later they're like, yeah, but you're a little, whoa, that's a little scary. Plus, you know, like, yeah, you're right on. Change the diet. But it's not the parent's fault. It is pre-pubescent.
Well, that's not completely true. That's like a half truth. It's a body. Yeah, it's how your body's reacting to your hormones for sure. But if your kid's eating trash all day, ramen, ho-hos, pizza, then that's your fault. So.
Well, for sure. And you probably caught up to the parents pretty quickly.
Like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Not processing the old food we used to give her the same way.
Yeah.
So. Fair enough. Hey, thank you for calling. Appreciate your input. I hope you have a great morning. Oh, take care. I think there she goes. Hi, Vicky. How you feeling?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming on the show. Thoughts on this?
I have the exact same thoughts as the person who just called. So I think you just have to, with girls especially, make them feel comfortable in the body they have and dress for clothes appropriately, and which is hard right now. But I have 2 girls, and my husband is the one. Actually, my mom is the one that says, go ask your dad what that looks like. And if he doesn't approve, then you can't wear it. And it's a matter of just getting them active and making it a family lifestyle.
Because
the girls have enough body image around and awareness. And kids are going to find out or bully them for anything, weight, education. Like, they're going to figure out and bully them no matter what.
Right. I have a friend, I do not have a daughter, but I have a friend who tells me everything, and they get ruthless around this age to each other. They are not nice. And if you're too skinny, you get bullied. If you're a little fluffy, you get bullied. And so if you can do anything in your power as a parent, I feel like that's your kind of only job as a parent. You know, we've talked about the acne situation. It is your only job to make sure that you're doing everything that you can in your power to make sure that they feel confident leaving that house every single day.
And make sure that they are respectful and treat everybody how they want to be treated.
Yes.
And then the world would just be fine.
Oh, my God. I love that. You need to run for president.
You solved all the problems today, you guys. Well done. Wrapping up OPP this morning, we heard from Chelsea, who, bottom line, is not a fan of having to pitch in $55 for her boss's birthday present, which is office furniture. So a couple of different angles that people are texting in on. One, company should be buying that.
Absolutely.
Nobody's really complaining too much about the price. I think $55. I mean, now think about that. There's going to be 10 people working in this office. That's a $500 plus birthday gift.
Yeah. For somebody that she claims is sexist, talks down to women, he is not her favorite. And she's like, I just don't want to give my hard-earned money to outfit this man's office. And here's a text. What do the other females think of him? Maybe they're feeling the same way, but no one is saying anything. Try talking to them and see what the vibe is. I think the problem with that is then word will get out that you're unhappy with your boss. Maybe Chelsea has been private with her feelings about it and just has noticed that he has been sexist. It says, don't pay. Bleep that boss. Being sexist nowadays is so weird. Does anyone really get paid enough to give your boss that? No, I don't think so.
What's the appropriate boss gift amount?
Okay, so let's say it's your birthday. You're our boss. Maybe if us three pooled our money together and got you, well, what do you like? Maybe a really good bottle of like scotch or something. I think you'd like that. Or like,
so you'd probably be at about $30 a piece.
Yeah. No, I'm taking that back. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
For your birthday. Normally we cap it at like 25.
Yeah, I mean that's right. Like a $25 gift card, something like that, $50.
Or just like bring them a cup of coffee. This is your job. This is not your family. I hate when people are like, oh, this is your fucking family. No, that's not true. It's like, this is where I work. And then I go home to my family. And you don't have to take it so seriously where, you know.
You sound like you're trying to spend less on me now. You sound like you're talking yourself into it.
I think you actually have a weird motive when you give me gifts. Like, you give me a gift card to Quick Trip, right?
Oh, because I know you stop there all the time.
But, like, I'll give you a $25 gift, but you'll spend way more on me, and it's to make me feel bad?
No, it's because I'm your boss.
Like, it never runs out. I'm like, this guy is trying to make me look bad because I gave him.
I'm not trying to. Why would I try and make?
Beer.
Listen, I can make you will make yourself look bad all the time. I don't have to sit here and make you look bad. If you want to give me half of what I give you, then that's on you.
Whatever.
That's on you. I consider myself to be more giving, and I'm probably a little bit more loving. And if that's the way you want to be, then that's on you.
During the barbecue the other day, one of our friends is like, we were talking about movies and which ones we've seen lately. And then I don't know how we got on to the girl movies like the Ocean 8 and then the all girls cast of Ghostbusters. But one of my friends was like, oh, I love Ghostbusters. I said, did you see Ghostbusters Afterlife? We have a little bed here. And so I was telling him this was the best ending to any movie I've ever seen. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I didn't. I know
you didn't
your husband
like
cried.
A baby?
No, I just thought I thought it was stupid.
I can't believe you can say that.
I thought listen, I love Harold Ramis as much as anyone else.
Don't ruin anything.
But it was dumb.
It was Liam panned over. I couldn't control it anymore. I tried to hide it. I didn't want to make any noises. I just had like some tears welling up and it just came to the surface. It was such a good ending. Are they doing another one?
I don't think so.
They probably could. They could probably go somewhere from that. But what do you think? What movie has the best ending? Because that one probably tops it. I do like Sweet Home Alabama where they meet on the beach and it's raining. Stop. And that's where they had their first kiss when they were like 6 years old. Or like the end of Notting Hill when she walks into the bookshop and
he's
like, we're closed. She's like, oh. Yeah, those are mine.
The Game. To anyone who's ever seen this movie, Kat said she never saw it. It's Michael Douglas, Sean Penn. It's a thriller movie.
The Game. I got to look at
it. It is so good. Suspense thriller. And the end is something you never saw coming. It is the biggest surprise ending of any movie I have ever seen in my entire life. And if you've seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you're nodding your head yes. It's good, too. It's got to be from
these are big names.
The 90s, maybe? Maybe the 2000s. Yeah, it's an old, old movie, but it is sharp. And you're on pins and needles the entire movie.
Really?
Yeah, it's so good. I know you love this stuff. I can't believe you've never seen this movie.
I think I'll have to put it on my queue because I do enjoy like any Michael Douglas movie. So
what is the movie with the all-time best ending? In your opinion, it's got to be better than that Ghostbusters movie. That was
anybody else cry like
garbage.
A lunatic? Derek and I were inconsolable. Like, we could not even
get
ourselves together.
Ridiculous.
You know why? Because I have a dad that's around that age, and he gets very emotional. You know, like, older men, they get really emotional. So I pictured him seeing his friends that weren't around anymore, like, seeing them for the last time. Did I just ruin the ending?
Yeah.
Let's begin now.
As we carefully stumble into another Thursday episode, welcome in. I'm JJ Katz here as well. How we living?
Hi, wonderful. How are you?
Ready for the freaking weekend or what?
Yeah, I am.
Not so much?
What do we have? Oh, we're going to my brother's wife's family's cabin. It is so serene.
Sounds like a great weekend that you don't have planned yet.
What do you mean? Yeah, no. It has been on
happening.
It's been on the books for a while, but it is going to be like just a day on the pontoon.
What,
it looks like 85 and sunny.
What lake are you guys on then?
It's Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah, Lake Elizabeth, yeah.
Yeah, and then we're going to go to Zorba's for dinner. Just sure. Like live the up north life like we actually
right on.
You know, do it every day. But they live that life all summer because they're teachers. And so this is where they just go and retreat to. I'm like, wow, rough stuff.
We had a little bit of a get together last night to kick off our VFW state tournament. And a couple of the teachers that are parents of the kids on our team were talking about how when August 1st hits, their anxiety level goes through the roof. Like June and July, they're straight chill.
Yeah.
And then August 1st. Like, one of the parents is also a principal at a local school, and she's like, I have to replace a para, I have to replace a teacher, have to hire an assistant volleyball coach. She's like, I'm just telling myself, it's all going to be okay, it's all going to be okay. And you could tell she was like, it's not going to be okay.
Well, during our show yesterday, I panned over in the news, had a big headline that said, major teacher shortage in Minnesota. And it's like, God, that's so sad.
I feel like our colleges are pumping them out by the, you know, trillions. I think everybody that's going to school is trying to be a teacher.
Then where are they?
I don't know, man. Are they going to Vermont? Are they going to Florida? They don't want to live in the cold weather anymore.
I want them to speak up about the turnoffs, like, you know,
the
why
turnoffs. Kids are jerks. That's the biggest
turnoff. You have no leverage. You
can't beat a child anymore.
Nope.
You can't hit them with a catalytic converter.
You can't even say no. Like, you can't say, stop that. No, they're on their phone. They're not paying attention. But then that's on them and their parents, because you can just say, yeah, they're failing. And then they're like, why? Why?
Well, kids like me are the reason people don't want to teach anymore. You get pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and you just don't want to do it anymore. I get it, man. You spend $140,000 on an education to make $30,000 a year and have to deal with jerks for 9 months? Nope.
Yeah. If you're a parent that blames the teacher right away, you got to reevaluate.
It's your kid's fault. It's always your kid's fault.
Most of the time. So make sure you don't spend this next school year blaming the teacher. Because look at the state we're in.
What does this lead to then? Bigger class sizes and everybody, you know, being PO'd about the level of education
you
get? I mean, Minnesota is one of those great states, too. Imagine if you were in Tennessee right now or Missouri, how bad the teacher shortage must be.
Plenty will slip through the cracks, and that's a shame. So if you're a teacher, you're looking for work, if you just graduated, they need you. We need you.
Yeah, you should be able to hold out for some decent coin.
Exactly.
Right? Maybe some extra vacation. Yep. Like 3 months.
Yeah.
I always love that. What do you do during the summer? I just hang out. I just do much.
A man posing as an undercover police officer. This is so alarming. Allegedly kidnapped a woman in Seattle, drove her 400 miles to his home in Oregon, and then locked her in a makeshift cinder block cell in his garage. This woman clawed her way out, bloody hands and all, broke through the door and got out.
29-year-old Negasi Zuberi is also known by several aliases. One is Sakima, another is Justin Haichi, and another Justin Kwasi.
There's potential of additional victims out there. We're asking today for people to come forward that might have had contact with Mr. Zuberi during contact. Obviously, not just in our jurisdiction, but from all over the country, wherever he lived previously.
Wow.
That is so scary. And odds of this happening to you are slim to none, but there are people out there that want to make it happen. And, you know, I think it was a Dr. Phil episode, and we talked about it on the show, where women, if we're on this long stretch of road and somebody's pulling us over, is there a number we can call to say, can this cop follow us, or is this a legitimate cop that is pulling me over? Do we have that resource yet? So still waiting on an answer.
You can call 911, can't you?
Would you call 911?
I would. It's an emergency if my life is going to be in jeopardy. It's an emergency to me.
Just want to make sure that the person pulling me over is legit.
I would call 911 and just say, hey, listen, I'm at this stretch of road. I'm being pulled over right now. Before I unlock my door, is this a legitimate police officer?
Okay.
Maybe I'm giving bad advice, but when it comes to my safety, man, I'm doing whatever it takes.
A Canadian real estate agent was filmed, and you should know this. If you're a realtor and you're going into people's homes to show them, odds are things are going to be caught on surveillance. And he helped himself to this client's fridge, and he opens it up, and he takes the milk carton out and just drinks straight from the carton.
I was in shock, and I just felt really violated. I was just upset. I was so upset by it. I just looked at him and I said, there is a cabinet with glasses. Get a glass. He just acted like it wasn't a big deal.
Okay, first off, it's not a big deal. You weren't violated.
That was really gross of him to do.
It was probably not the best move, but you weren't violated.
Those are strong words.
Took a drink of milk from your fridge. Everybody settled down.
So he was suspended. He got a $15,000 fine, by the way.
$15,000 fine from the Canadian Real Estate Association.
I want to do a topic, but I don't know how many realtors would call in, but how many times have you helped yourself to something in the fridge? You're busy. You're going from house to house, showing to showing. You're so hungry.
I remember when we were showing our house before we moved, and this is years ago, but I remember telling our realtor, hey, if you want something, grab it.
You did?
Yeah, for sure.
I would never think of saying that.
Because they're spending
maybe
time
drinks.
There. They're there ahead of time. They're going to light a candle. When we had our open house, I go, if you need a beer, you want a beer, you want anything, there's beer in the outside fridge. Otherwise, there's snacks around here. Help yourself, get the house sold. That's like...
I've never ever
That's the bare minimum you can give for somebody who's going to sell your house for you.
No, it's not. They get commission. They're not doing this for free.
If you want a swig of milk, take a swig of milk.
David.
You guys are killing me.
A Maryland woman named Kimberly, she earned the Guinness World Record book because she's such a lady. She belches at 107 decibels. Oh my God. I wasn't excited. I took a breath.
That's not my old roommate, Jeff.
Stop it. Don't air it again.
That's a Kimberly burp.
Oh, stop. That is enough.
That's the best ever.
So this woman has gone viral with a video of herself describing, and she thinks, you know, and maybe you can relate as a female going through little ugly phases.
So I'm in an ugly phase. And women, I think we all know what this is, okay? It's when you're not feeling yourself, you feel like you're ugly, like you've never looked worse. I'm like getting rid of all the bad that is inside of me, making me ugly, and then I will emerge hotter. And my next pretty phase, I'll be hotter than my previous pretty phase. Are you following? But right now I'm ugly.
Is that a thing?
I don't even know what she's following.
Is that a thing? Have you felt like that?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you right now?
2 days a month.
What are you feeling right now?
I have makeup on. I have Botox yesterday. I had my toes done yesterday.
So you're in a pretty phase.
I'm in a phenomenally gorgeous phase.
Gotcha.
And then maybe I'll just
humble phase. When does that start rolling around?
What? But once a year, sir.
Bingo. How fun.
Last week, someone lost an eye at bingo.
Bingo.
Bingo what bingo?
Bingo.
Bingo. Time to Playhouse Bingo. It's Kat and JJ over here. And basically, this is the part of our show where we go looking for one real super interesting listener. It might be you if you're listening and...
You have less than $100 in your bank account. I was getting my toes done, and, you know, some people share a lot of stuff in...
Just a random stranger.
...toe places, and, well, it was a young girl, and she was talking to another young girl, and she goes, are you going out tonight? And the girl's like, heck no, I don't have any money. I have, like, $42 in my bank account. I was like, I remember those days. I had to call my older brother when I was, like, 20. I'm like, can you just please go to U.S. Bank and put in $50, please? And then I paid him back, like, 15 years later. I totally forgot.
With no interest?
Yeah.
So mine's the opposite side, with the lottery being, you know, $1.25 billion. Woo! Mine's going to be anyone listening who has won at least $1,000 on the lottery.
Dang.
Like we've all won our two or five or 10 or maybe even 25 or 50 bucks. I think the biggest I've ever won is $100.
Okay.
And a scratcher. What do you got for us? Line three.
I got bingo for JJ.
What? No. Hey, I by far thought I was going to win.
What's your name and how much did you win on the lottery?
My name's Nicole and it was just $1,000, but it was on a scratch-off ticket. And I took the day off from work to drive all the way down to Roseville, fill out the forms, get my check.
And did they give you a check that day?
Yep.
Wow. How did you feel? Like, were you panicky? Were you just wigged out?
I was a little worried about how it's going to come out in taxes because they give you a form that says you don't pay any taxes on, but you have to count it as income.
Sure.
Wow. Like a 1099.
And then what'd you spend it on?
At the time, because it was a couple years ago, I was a single mom, so I got caught up on some bills for my kids, and we went out to dinner to celebrate.
That sucks, man. All you did on it was, I know you had responsibilities, but that sucks. I wanted to hear, like, oh, my God, I went on this crazy vacation.
You know what you could have done? Even taken half of that, gone to a dollar box at a bar, and then even upped your ante there. Like, if they had a bunch of 500.
All that Kat's thinking about today is pull tabs for some reason. I don't know why this is happening, Nicole.
Cardboard crack.
Do you still play the lottery then, or do you figure, like, you won yours and it's never going to happen again?
Oh, no, I won $50 on a scratchy this morning.
I think this goes so well into our little feed here after knowing about what's going on at these Drake concerts with women throwing bras onto the stage.
Yeah.
And some of these things being so shockingly big that Drake stops the show and immediately has to find the lady who belongs to the 36G bra. So I'm trying to keep people innocent here. Let's just say I have a friend named Dave.
Okay.
And he has a son named Jonah. And Jonah works at a movie theater.
These are all real names.
Let's just say Jonah's mother is of the busty side.
Okay. She's bigger than me. That was a bait. You didn't take it. Good job.
Jonah's mother is pretty stacked.
That's nice.
Jonah found a bra left behind in the movie theater. All right. Now, I just saw the picture of the bra via a text message. I didn't get a chance to really, really see it close. But it's black and it's lacy.
Okay.
So to me, that means, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but that means the lady thought it would probably be seen that night. Is that when you go black lacy, you assume it's going to be seen?
I feel like I have really nice bras and I don't expect anyone to see them.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It's just in case you get into an accident and they have to cut your clothes off. You want to look nice.
Fair enough. Well, Jonah brought this bra home and said, "Mom, I think this would probably fit you. Do you want it?"
What a sweetheart.
It did. It was her size.
Uh-huh.
And now she kept it.
If it's not dingy, I shouldn't have said no right away, because if it's not dingy and it's really nice, let's say it's like a Vicky's. Because I don't treat myself to those kinds of bras. I just don't. I don't look at that as something where my money should be allocated.
It's not an investment in your happiness safety and well-being?
Well, that's not the case. Like, I'll get my bras at Target, spend like $20 on them, and they have good coverage, good lift. So I'm fine with those.
If Liam went to the rec center to hoop it up with his friends and found a bra and brought it home and said, "This probably looks like it could be your size, Mom, and it was nice," would you keep it and put it in rotation?
What a sweet thing. And if it was nice, yes, I probably would. I'd wash it and I'd keep it.
And this kid is a sweet kid. This wasn't a pervy moment. I mean, he's 17.
Yeah. Well, I would hope it wouldn't be pervy. But I thought it would be like a
prank. At 17, listen, if I would have brought my mom home a bra at 17,
yeah,
she would have called the cops.
I don't think so.
She would have said, "You did something wrong. I don't know what it is. I'm going to find somebody to get to the bottom of this." She would have called the police.
Yeah. If he brought it home, there's a difference between that and then me going to a garage sale. And if I see them, buy them there.
I forgot to tell you. So in my neighborhood yesterday, I'm coming home from the gym. I never stop at garage sales.
Yeah.
But this one had all the big signs out, like for blocks, one block away.
Yeah.
Half a block. You know
what
I mean?
Getting closer.
Yep.
Warmer.
And then had the big arrow pointing in or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? I'm stinky. I'm sweaty. I'm still in my gym clothes. I had like $20 even on me.
Yeah.
I go, no problem. I stop in. I walk in and they had most of the stuff in the garage because they had all these fans going. So it was cooler because it was outside of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a table of women's underwear.
Okay. So Derek got on my case because the last one that we did, the last garage sale, I had a paper bag on the garbage in the back of the garage. And these were very nice bras, tags still on them. I never wore them. Some sports bras. So when a woman walked up with a similar bust, I mentioned
it. Scoped her out.
And I said, "That bag back there, you can check it out. They're very nice. Some were from, I don't know, TJ Maxx. They were nice. Tag's still on." And I got a couple of weird looks. Like, "I'm not going near that bag.
That is a weird
thing. Are you kidding me?"
But I stopped and I just looked at it. I go, "You have a card table full of used lady panties on
not
your garage."
Panties.
Yeah,
there was
bras and panties, matching sets. And then there was a whole bunch of panties in like a Tupperware on the corner.
Panties.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
For sure weren't new.
The Playhouse Podcast is made possible thanks to Brad Sean Bryan Law Offices. Catch the live show weekdays from 5:30 to 9 on 104.7 KCLD. Now, share this with a friend.